most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it is Thursday, September 13th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal today to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Very interesting stuff happening with marijuana this week. If you caught the mashup with the candidates on Yahoo and the Huffington Post last night, you saw Bill Maher ask Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd the question about marijuana decriminalization, and Chris Dodd surprisingly said that he would favor decriminalizing marijuana in the United States if elected president. So those candidates are getting medical marijuana questions, decriminalization questions, and it seems like marijuana is stepping up to be a big issue in the presidential race of 2008. Let's make sure we all keep it there. Make sure you send your emails to the candidates, show up at these town forums that will be happening with the primaries and caucuses around the country, and make sure you ask marijuana questions if given the opportunity. We're going to talk more about that candidate mashup tomorrow with Steve Bloom in the CelebStoner.com segment. We have important news today from Normal coming up here in just a moment. Also today, we'll speak with Robbie Roadsteamer, a huge personality there in the Boston area. He'll be at the Boston Freedom Rally this Saturday. We got a chance to check in with Robbie last week. It's a great interview here today. Also in the program today, right after the news, we'll speak with Rena Sapansky of the Drug Policy Alliance of New Mexico to talk about how their medical marijuana law implementation process is going there. That's all here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Tomorrow we'll have our CelebStoner.com update. Music from Herbal Nation, a great band who will also be on stage there at the Boston Freedom Rally, and also a little bit more information about that event. A great week here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, a wonderful stash every day. Let's get to important daily news today from Normal. Our news today. California, hemp cultivation bill sent to the governor. From Sacramento, California legislators approved bipartisan legislation this week defining industrial hemp as a, quote, agricultural field crop, close quote, and establishing regulations governing its cultivation by state-authorized farmers. Assembly Bill 684, known as the California Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2007, now awaits action from Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Under the measure, the legislature would institute a pilot program permitting farmers to cultivate hemp in four California counties, Imperial, Kings, Mendocino, and Yolo. The proposal defines hemp as varieties of cannabis containing less than 0.3% THC, the primary psychoactive compound in marijuana. Farmers would be required by law to submit random samples of their plants to an authorized laboratory to assure that their crop does not contain greater THC potencies. Industrial hemp is currently grown commercially in Canada and in the European Union for its fiber content. According to a 2005 Congressional Resource Service report, the United States is the only developed nation that fails to cultivate the plant as an economic crop. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed a similar hemp bill last year, citing concerns that the measure could negatively impact law enforcement efforts prohibiting the recreational use of marijuana. A statewide telephone poll performed earlier this year by Zogby International found that 71% of Californians supported allowing authorized farmers legal access to cultivate the crop. For more information about this story, please visit norml.org. Additional information is also available at California Normal's website. That's canorml.org. Next up today, we're going to check in with the nation's newest medical marijuana access program. Joining us today from my former home city, Santa Fe, in the beautiful land of enchantment, is Rena Sapansky from the New Mexico Drug Policy Alliance. Rena, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to speak with you today, Rena. I just wanted to check in with you regarding the implementation of the medical marijuana program there. Tell us how that implementation process is going.
Sure. Well, New Mexico's medical marijuana law is a little bit different in that it's actually calling for the state to license and regulate production and distribution. And the reason for that was really the legislature wanted to have a safe and secure supply for patients. They didn't want to just have people rely on, you know, sort of black market or grow your own types of sources. They wanted to have a central supply for patients. So that idea came from the legislature, and it's not that the marijuana only has to come from this production and distribution system, but that it's available and that it should be made available for patients. So this has led to a lot of controversy in the implementation. Obviously, marijuana production and distribution is illegal under federal law, and doing something at a statewide scale makes it even more interesting for the federal government to meddle in. So there's been quite a bit of back and forth between the New Mexico Attorney General, the Governor's Office, the Department of Health, all regarding what to do on this production front.
Yet even with the controversy, the Department of Health and the New Mexico Governor's Office have been strongly standing by the law and making sure it does get implemented as it was passed.
Yeah, well, the governor has been extremely strong on the issue within the state, and he issued a statement basically saying, we're going to do it, we're going to plan the implementation, and then we're going to, you know, we're going to negotiate and figure out what we're going to do. And so the department, has obviously been very, very concerned about possible criminal prosecution of their employees. And so that's led to some real cautiousness on their part, because they really don't want to expose their employees to any criminal liability. But, you know, I really don't believe the federal government is going to come and arrest a doctor or an administrator at the Department of Health. I think that, you know, it's going to be really tough, politically speaking, to really attack this kind of system, because it's about the patients, it's medical, it's regulated, it's safe, and so it's I just can't imagine, politically speaking, how the federal government thinks it's going to take down that kind of system.
And, you know, has anyone from the federal government contacted you or been into contact with the officials to put any pressure on them in any way?
Well, you know, we have heard rumors of I can't speak for the truth of the rumors. I don't know. No one from the federal government has contacted me. But, you know, there have been rumors that the feds have threatened to bring suit, to shut down the program, et cetera. I don't know. I don't know what they're intending. I don't know if I would imagine that going after our law is going to be a major endeavor. And so if they feel they have time for that, given all the other things that they're supposed to be dealing with, that would be surprising. But, you know, I mean, it's certainly well within their prerogative to try and bring such a suit. So, you know, we'll see. I think that everyone here is focused on trying to do the right thing and trying to get the best system together for the patients.
And in regards to patients themselves, one aspect of the New Mexico program that is already up and running is the patient authorization process, and that aspect has already been a success. There certainly hasn't been a flood of applications, but they have been coming in, and as per the rules of authorization, many have been approved and some have not.
Right, that's right. I think they're up to somewhere 30-something patients, I think, the last time I checked in with the program. It's maybe last week. And they had also received maybe an equal number or less of applications that needed further information. So the department's being very careful about the approval process and making sure that they're verifying information. But we're hearing back from the patients that the program has been very accessible, very easy to communicate with, that people are friendly and wanting to help them through the process. So, you know, the Department of Health has really done a good job in with that part of it that's already been implemented.
Righto. And we should mention one of those approved patients, Leonard French. He was raided by federal agents in his home. Mr. French is wheelchair-bound. He's actually a paraplegic, and he thought he was operating under state law there.
Yeah, this was a really, really, really shocking case where he had a very small number of plants. I think it was somewhere between the stories are different, but somewhere between 2 and 6 seedlings, like tiny, tiny little seedlings. And the Pecos Valley Drug Task Force knocked on his door, said, you know, we understand that you're growing some marijuana. And he said, apparently, you know, thinking he was fully within the law, thinking that these were local law enforcement agents, said, oh, sure, you know, and invited the agents into his house. They didn't have a warrant. But they then seized the marijuana, seized his small growing equipment, and left. And they have not filed federal charges. But the interesting part about this case is that they issued a press release afterwards, sort of announcing that they had seized these potent marijuana plants, and that New Mexico citizens should remember that even though state law has changed, they're not protected under federal law. So it was pretty incredible, and it really looked to me like it was a publicity stunt, you know, to issue this press release of this major threat of 6 seedlings. So, you know, Mr. French has, he's a really great person, and he's just got the best attitude in the world, and he's saying, you know, if my case is the one that, you know, we have to, if I'm the one that they're going to pick on, I can handle it, you know, and I'm okay. But it was really, really unbelievable to have local law enforcement collaborating with federal law enforcement to raid this wheelchair-bound person. He's lost the use of his legs, and just really, really unfortunate. And so, too, as far as I know, they have not filed federal charges. This is about a week and a half ago that this incident occurred. But, you know, the press release stated that that federal charges could be brought. So we'll see. I think that he's received many, many offers of help and goodwill, and he's kind of become a local celebrity, but because people really, really felt awful about what had happened to him.
Well, it sounds like the federal law enforcement publicity plan certainly backfired in this case by picking on the wrong guy for sure. Now, patients and caregivers, you know, they're raided around the country by federal authorities for medical marijuana. But, you know, you mentioned Mr. French's attitude after the raid, and, you know, it's a surprisingly common one. It really is true that the strength of the patients themselves have kept medical access available and have also furthered reform in this area. It just seems like all of this government intimidation is lost on these very courageous individuals, the patients themselves.
Well, you know, I witnessed this firsthand during the fight to get this legislation passed. These are patients who have faced death in some cases. They have been in extreme pain or extreme discomfort. They have incredible strength. And, you know, they know what it's like to really face adversity. And so these legal battles, these political situations, they have so much strength and so much grace in confronting these situations. It's really very powerful lessons for those of us who haven't seen that kind of trouble in our lives, that, you know, they were really the ones who were at the forefront, and they still are. Really incredible people.
Now, Rena, should the controversy die down a bit and the hurdles that are being put up conquered here, what will the full New Mexico medical program look like once it is fully implemented?
Well, we have not seen a draft of the production and distribution, so it's hard to say exactly what direction the state is going to go in. There's lots of options, anything from a centralized grow site and, you know, greenhouse and production system, all maybe privatized, maybe public, all the way to licensing individual patients or licensing growers for very, very small grows. So there's like so many options that exist, and so the plan that comes out could be a combination of those, could be one option over the others. There's a lot of careful legal thinking that's going on. The pieces that will be considered on October 1st, there's going to be a regulatory hearing in Santa Fe where people can come in and give comment on the regulations that they're proposing. And those are the regulations governing the ID card process, governing who gets to be a patient, governing the medical advisory board and what their role is in this process. And so people can find the copies of those regulations on our website at improvenewmexico.org. If you go to medical marijuana, you'll find the regulations and the information about the hearing. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about, a lot of the opposition talking about having a very strong presence at this hearing. And so everyone who supports medical marijuana needs to be at this hearing. We need to have a really, really good showing all day. So it's an all-day hearing, like 8:30 to 5. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we need to have people coming in, you know, throughout the day and sharing their support. So I really encourage people, if they're curious, if they want to see the details of New Mexico's program, to go to that website and check out the regulations.
Righto, and we'll have links to that site today at normalaudiostash.com. Now, we briefly mentioned Governor Richardson, but it also seems that the controversy within the state has strengthened his resolve for this law and for full implementation. I mean, do you think that's the case for some of the state legislators as well, and that some of the controversy, again, that's been created has just strengthened their resolve on this issue?
Yeah, you know, it's been really wonderful. The legislators who have supported the legislation all the way through, they really, when the Attorney General issued this very simplistic statement saying that he was not allowed to defend state employees if they were criminally prosecuted, the legislature was just in an uproar, and really was putting some significant pressure on him to reconsider, to restate what exactly it was that he meant. Another, at that time also, we had a few legislators who were, one in particular who used to do criminal law, come forward and say, if any state employee is prosecuted, I personally will represent them for free, which was really great. And he was actually the sponsor of the bill that finally passed. You know, we had a few medical marijuana bills in play this session. So this was Senator Robinson. He was all over the radio saying, you know, if the federal government prosecutes any of these employees, I personally will represent them for free. And a number of attorneys around the state have offered to assist Mr. French, to assist any state employee that would be prosecuted. So the outpouring from the community has been really wonderful.
And having that support all around, having that community support must take away some of the anxiety about access for patients, as well as for lawmakers and the administrators there. All that support really does make the federal fear tactics null and void in many ways.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think for the patients, they already had to make the decision, you know, this doesn't protect me 100%, this ID card, this certification. And so, you know, what is it worth to me to have access to this medicine, to be protected under state law? Now, we know that federal prosecution is really, really rare, and we'll see if the feds press charges against Mr. French. I think for the state employees, it's a little bit, you know, it's great to have these pledges of support for defense, but, you know, still this idea of being arrested and if you have children, and I mean, it's just, it's such a difficult situation to put anyone in, and it's just so unfair. It's really frustrating because everyone who's working in the program or a member of the program obviously feel so strongly that this is about medicine, that this is about having the right to something that is effective. This is about patients and doctors and having their relationships respected. And all of these things, when you have something like what happened to Mr. French, all of these things just seem like they're being disrespected and, you know, stomped upon. So it's a very emotional issue still, I think, in the state. And people feel very, very strongly that patients should have access.
Righto. Well, Rena, this has been a great conversation here today. It's always wonderful to speak with you. I want to thank you again for taking time to speak with us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me, Chris.
Thank you again, Rena. Rena Sapansky is the director of the New Mexico Drug Policy Alliance. We have links to their website and more about New Mexico's medical access program on our own website today at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned. Coming up next is a fixture in Boston media, and he's a great guest, Robbie Roadsteamer, coming up next.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Robbie Roadsteamer is a well-known Boston media personality, and he's also been involved with the Boston Freedom Rally for a number of years. He's going to be on stage and at the event with live radio interviews and the like this Saturday for the Boston Freedom Rally. We have more information about that event on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Robbie, welcome here to the Audio Stash.
It's a pleasure to be heard.
It's great to speak with you, man. You know, you're on the radio in Boston, you're a musician, and now you're an internet video star. You know, Robbie, how did you first get involved with the Boston Freedom Rally?
Well, I mean, anybody who's from Massachusetts that's in a band, you know, it's pretty, you know, prestigious to be a part of it. I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, I always went as, you know, a teenager and stuff and always wanted to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, finally got the first chance in 2004, which unfortunately was rained out, which was, you know, a big tragedy and stuff. Basically, I tried to make lemons out of lemonade. We had and this is how horrible the city is. They would not even let us have a power generator to, like, have backup when it got rained out. So we ended up being in one tent with a megaphone, and we were just singing. It was so tribal. It was awesome. We're just in a circle, like I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in a red sequin jumpsuit and a fake mustache and a wig, you know, we're going to legalize marijuana. And, you know, even though that it was in a tent under the worst circumstances, they really liked the vibe my character had. And they asked me back the next year. And so 2005, we finally got a chance to do it in the Boston Common in front of 10,000 people. And, you know, we did it again last year. They liked us so much. And it's always an honor to be a part of it.
So this event really is part of the essential fabric of the city of Boston now.
It's wonderful because it's also the fact is that we don't have a lot of stuff to look forward to, you know, being young and up in this area. You know, it's either go to dance clubs and, you know, try to hook up and stuff, or, you know, it's like once a year, Boston is actually ideal for one day. We open up the park, we let some really amazing bands play, and people learn that, you know, marijuana is just not something you smoke and play PlayStation for 8 hours. You learn that, you know, there might be a lot of benefits to it, and especially for a kid, you know, a teenager who, you know, up until that point has learned all the taboos, it's an amazing experience.
You know, it seems like this event is also a big, big showcase for local bands.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. And, you know, what's great about, you know, the man who books it, Mike, is he's able to get some really diverse, amazing acts. Because, you know, with all due respect, when you think of, like, a Freedom Rally or, you know, a Hemp Fest or anything you want to call it, you know, the connotation that's been associated with it is jam bands. And I got nothing. I love all of God's music and stuff. But you know what? I mean, there's a lot of people who might not be into just jam bands, into bands that play for 8 hours, little jazzy chords and, you know, do twirls and stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. And what I like about our rally is we have everything. We have metal, we have punk, we have pop rock, we have folk singers, and it encompasses everything into one day. And it's people who aren't just there to, you know, be seen or heard, to people who are very creative in their own mind and have a lot to say about why they're there and what they believe in. And, you know, as a kid or as a teenager or as anybody, to walk into that atmosphere and see such a diverse group of musicians in Boston play it's really a great day.
And Robbie, we heard yesterday from Dave Tree that although the state of Massachusetts is known for being pretty liberal, the city of Boston, maybe not so much. But it also seems like the city has some healthy respect and some healthy love for the Freedom Rally, even if the town is a bit uptight.
Well, that's what's beautiful about it. I mean, you look back in the mid-60s, I mean, you know, L.A., San Francisco, they still, you know, they have that traditional sense, too. I mean, yes, you had the hippies and you had the whole counterculture, but in the heart of it all, you also had, you know, I mean, hell, Reagan was the goddamn governor. You know, so you have that climate that just screamed for change. And it's the same thing with Boston. Boston is very traditional, and Boston's very upper crust, and Boston really does have a strict set of rules. But around Boston, you have this budding clientele of, like, artists and musicians and from every walks of life. I mean, around Boston, there's this great scene, and it involves these little suburbs of Alston, Brighton, Cambridge, Somerville, and each one of them's creating like this really hotbed of great music and ideals. And, you know, once a year they finally give us the key to go into Boston and, you know, scream it at the top of our lungs.
Wow.
And it's just really, it's fun to watch, because normally the only way you can play actually in the city of Boston is to be a nationally touring band. They've shut down all our clubs. I mean, we only have, like, a stretch of, like, street called Lansdowne Street where they cram all these Clear Channel clubs onto, and you better hope that, you know, maybe your band will someday be good enough, because if not, you're into the suburbs of Cambridge and Brighton and Alston, and, you know, that's really where the scene's budding from. But, you know, it's really nice, because ideally once a year you see what we are trying to do, and, you know, it's under a great cause, which everybody gets excited about.
Right on, right on. Now, Lester Grinspoon is based there at Harvard University. So is economist Jeffrey Miron, both of whom have garnered a lot of national media attention for marijuana reform. I mean, do you think that having the academics on board for this has also spilled over a bit to the rest of the area?
Well, Boston, I feel, you know, it's just the microcosm of the rest of the country. I mean, as youth, as teenagers, we are giving, you know, pretty much the protocol of what, you know, marijuana is seen as. And it's hard to break away from that, you know. When you're told as a kid, you go near that fence, you're going to get electrocuted. You know, when that's installed in you, I mean, it's hard when you get older to break away from that and to have an open mind. I mean, Boston's no different, you know. You're dealing with a bunch of people that as soon as you bring up the word marijuana, it's like any other word. You know, 1,000 thoughts goes in that person's mind, and it's hard to bring in a new thought. You know, when I say marijuana to somebody, you know, they're going to think, oh, God, hippies, drugs, losers, gateway to other drugs. And, yeah, there's a lot of really amazing minds that are trying to change that, especially around the area. But, you know, it is hard. It is hard when, you know, you're dealing with sort of this whitewashed blanket over society that's propagating this sort of thought. But, you know, when you get to the Mass Cam Festival, when you get to the Freedom Rally, it's really nice for one day, especially if you do have an open mind, to hear what the other side has to say. And, I mean, it was one of the reasons why I keep going back, and I get more and more excited about it every year. Because not only am I one that listens, but, you know, I really do feel like I have, you know, all the information now that I can make my own decision of how I feel about it. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I went to the Freedom Rally, not just to be there to play with my band, but to hear what everybody had to say. And, you know, I mean, if you can just get one person to unplug from, you know, what they've been programmed to, you know, think about it, that person will tell 10 people, and that's all they're trying to do, is, you know, to have, like, both sides of the story be heard so people can have their own opinion of what really should be done about it.
Now, Robbie, a few towns and municipalities have passed some non-binding voter referendums for local marijuana reform. You know, does Boston media pick up on that? Does it get talked about there?
No. And I mean, the thing about it is we got to also understand who runs local media. I mean, it's not people that, you know, I mean, it's not accidental, the stories you see on the news, you know. It's stories that, you know, come from sources, come from people that decide what people need to know. I mean, well, I have shut off my TV many years ago because it doesn't reflect the world I see around me. You turn on local media any night in Boston, you're going to hear, you know, stories about, oh, and tonight there was a car accident. And later on, a very special cat that has won the hearts of a country. You're not going to hear stories, especially from our angle, about the fact that tonight a man on marijuana decided that, you know what, everything's okay, laughed his ass off for a couple of hours, and went on his way. You know, you're not, even if you do hear a story about marijuana on the news, it's literally 19 times out of 20, you're not going to hear anything positive about it. Any person who does speak up about marijuana that is on the news is going to be shown in the light that he is a crazy hippie from the left side, and any idea that comes out of his mouth is going to corrupt. I mean, we've basically turned into the town that was in the movie Footloose. Everybody's afraid to dance now.
Oh, man. So it sounds like sort of like everywhere else. On one hand, you have some cool scenes going on in town. On the other hand, there's that conservative element and conservative law enforcement as well.
Well, it's always going to be that way. There's always yin-yang and everything. And, I mean, the only thing you can do is just believe in what you want to believe and have an open mind. And, you know, that's all we're saying. We're not saying, you know what, you know, we're right, they're wrong, they're right, they're wrong. We want people to have the choice. But it's unfortunate that our voice, you know, it's trampled upon. It's literally like going into a movie theater and yelling the word bomb. I mean, it's so threatening. Like, I especially find myself when I tell people that, you know, hey, I'm playing the Freedom Rally this year. They're like, oh, marijuana, oh. And they have all these preconceived, you know, ideas of what that's about. And, you know, on the other end, you know, where I live, which is in the Alton, you know, the Alston-Brighton area, you know, it's just amazing because, you know, you surround yourself with, you know, similar people, people who have open minds, people who have open views on everything. And, you know, once you start talking with, you know, those types of people, you realize that, you know, you're not alone. It's just a case of the emperor's new clothes where everybody knows there's something more going on, but nobody wants to admit it. And, you know, I'm really fortunate that I decided, you know, to be a small town boy, to move down from the North Shore of Massachusetts into the city and get into the middle of the fight and stuff. And, you know, I've really enjoyed all the people I've met. I mean, coincidentally, it seems like, and I don't want to be someone to, you know, draw conclusions here, but some of the most passionate minds that I know in the city and in the area also happen to love to sit down on a Sunday night, blaze, and talk about their favorite Harrison Ford movie. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, man, with the way I was brought up and the way that, you know, I went through life, you know, it just really messes with my circuitry to know that, wow, there's these really amazing open people that create such amazing art and say such amazing things, and also coincidentally seem to be the type of people that realize if you do put a joint to your mouth, you're not going to turn into a pumpkin. You're not going to just grow dreadlocks, play hacky sack for 16 hours. As a matter of fact, you might be so comfortable when you do smoke it, you might, oh God, dare I say, bring a new idea into the world instead of just being part of just a matrix, you know?
Well, Robbie, it sounds like, you know, if you grew up there and you get to express yourself through the vast amount of work you do produce and get on the radio and things like that, something must be going right up there for sure.
And you know, it's something that I'm very proud of, especially with, you know, what people have been, you know, talking to me about the past couple of years, that, you know, I might have a chance time to time to even get my ideas out into the world. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, if anybody, you know, knows me from, you know, whatever aspect of what I do, whether it be the band, whether it be the videos I put on my website, whether it be on the radio, what I'm most excited about is the fact that, you know, I do put a lot of what I feel into what I'm doing. And if people can pick up on that, you know, it might just be another reason for them to look into, wow, you know, maybe I should change the way I think for a little bit. You know, I mean, especially with me, you know, growing up, I was a comedian. I loved comedy. And, you know, one of the comedians that I especially loved was Bill Hicks. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I loved about him was when I heard him talk about various topics, about, you know, the way the world is according to his eyes, and how he would say grass, not in a way that was taboo like I normally remembered it, but in a way that was like, you know what, why is something that is naturally from the earth banned? Don't you think banning nature is a little unnatural? And, you know, when those ideas get planted, all it takes is one person. All it takes is one person to all of a sudden make you look both ways and be like, you know what, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's something out there. Maybe we're not exploring everything we should be as the human race. And, yeah, no, I mean, I'm really excited that in any way, shape, or form, I get to be a part of the circus, that I can say what I want. And, you know, I mean, I'm very happy that I live in a world that allows me to do that.
Right on. Oh, Robbie, I really want to thank you for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and I'm looking forward to meeting you up there on Saturday at the Boston Freedom Rally.
And thanks for having me on, Chris.
Many thanks again. Robbie Roadsteamer here on the Audio Stash today. We have links to his website. That's roadsteamer.com. They have all kinds of videos and music up there for everyone to enjoy. Robbie will be on stage for the Boston Freedom Rally. We have links for more information about the event on our website today as well. You can also visit masscan.org. That's MASSCANN.ORG. Here's a little music from Road Steamer right now. You can check out their MySpace page. We have links to that as well.
Down on Route 1, we headed down to Carl Sausage Kitchen.
And we hit the hilltop for rice pilaf. Ooh, exquisite.
Don't go to New York. Stay here, you dork. Creepy lady.
Well, I got the summer. Let's put it in park and make babies.
The city. Nowhere for a queen to be seen. The North Shore is where you're gonna score.
We're one ball. Hey, look, Paul, what a loser!
Man, his wife on the net. Shades his chest, bring a loser.
Well, my band is the devil. Not that hello, it's awesome.
But there's 4,000 fans. Can't make a stand in Boston.
Another fly in the trap of NY.
The North Shore.
Nation.
Did anybody say Hamilton?
North Shore is where you gotta soar. Wah, wah, wah. The North Shore is where you gotta soar. Wah, wah, wah. The North Shore is where you gotta soar. Wah, 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 wah.
Nobody lets you.
Johnston!
That's not on the North Shore!
That's Road Steamer with Robbie Road Steamer. They'll be on stage at the Boston Freedom Rally this Saturday. Again, more information about the event is on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.